Welcome back to...
Hey, Sarah, what's up?
Nothing. What's up with you?
Not much. Been a busy couple of weeks as far as the podcast is concerned. So I was actually pleasantly surprised. Now, I thought I'd have like 1.5 listeners, like I said last time. And so far we've had, you know, a little bit over 40 people actually listen. I got some, you know, pretty decent feedback via email, via social media and stuff like that. So it's cool that people are actually listening. And actually, one of the things that actually surprised me is that, you know, I set up a Instagram page as well. I think it's Instagram/FromStuck, only because Spiritual Center wasn't available. Don't ask me why I picked that, but that's just what came to mind, and that's what it is. And a lot of people actually following me and contacting me there, even people who I was, you know, pretty surprised that they would be interested in our topic. Just goes to show that, you know, we're a lot bigger minority, or there's a lot more people who, you know, who identify what we're talking about and we really think, you know, the From community is quite splintered.
Yes, I agree with you. So how are you feeling after your first episode?
Oh, I'm feeling exactly the way I felt before the first episode. Right. Yeah, I'm not feeling any differently much. It's just, you know, it's good to have another outlet of, you know, way to get out there and get my views out there, my voice out there. And, you know, I'm hoping that as it grows, you know, the voice will get louder and stronger, and maybe it actually make a difference in, you know, maybe not my life per se, but maybe in some people who are stuck, you know, at an earlier stage than me, and maybe we'll have the balls to do what they got to do earlier, you know, before they get more stuck, you know.
Yeah. So what do you want to talk about today?
Oh, what should we talk about today? Well, I had a conversation the other day with somebody, and, you know, this is something probably me and you have spoken about many times. Mm-hmm. I find it very, you know, sad but true as far as the, you know, the right-wing ultra-Orthodox From community is concerned, is that, you know, and is that externals matter more, much more than real issues and internal issues. And, you know, Judaism to them in the From world is all about the black hat, the white shirt, the reputation. What are people going to say? What are people going to think? And, you know, well, no, we have to keep up with the Schwartzes, as opposed to what are you feeling? What's right for me? You know, what's my connection to God? What's my spiritual connection? You know, I don't like to use the term, you know, tribe over individual or whatever, like a lot of people do use that term. But that's basically what it is. It's like, you know, we live in a box and we got to fit in that box. And the externals that show and identify me as part of that box, be it the black hat or whatever it is in every particular community, that's what's more important. You know, when it comes to like even shidduch and like the questions people ask, right? Maybe they'll get to the real questions, but the very first question they ask, if it matters, what schools do they go to? What do they look like? You know, which community they identify with. It's not about, are they a good person? Are they a sweet person? Are they a nice person? Are they a, you know, caring person? It's all about, so where do they daven? What do they look like? Who do they sit next to? Who do they live next to? Which shiva do they go? What camp do they go? You know, what kind of hat? Is it Borsellino or not Borsellino? Like, it's always the externals that are at the top of the list.
And why do you think, you know, that is?
Why it is? I mean, to put it pretty frank and bluntly, because it's like any cult. You know, the very fabric of a cult is identification. Because if individuals have a say in their life, then they do whatever works for them. You know, but when the cult is the end all, and you have to belong and you have to identify, so the, you know, in order to keep the sheep in line, you got to make sure they look the part. You know, sure. The sheep looks like a tiger. You know, it's gonna ruin the narrative of the cult, so to speak. And I do believe that From Judaism, you know, right wing From Judaism. I'm not talking about modern Orthodox. I'm talking about yeshivish, chassidish, or, you know, pretty, you know, rigid From Judaism is for the most part a cult. You know, with the quote-unquote Das Torah being the leaders of the cult, even though Das Torah has very little to do with Torah. That's a whole different topic. But it's, you know, the cult mentality is that, you know, if you belong to this cult, you got to wear this hat. You know, much like a Yankee fans wear Yankee caps and you know, Dodgers fans wear Dodgers tees, right?
Yeah. So it's interesting because I recently had this this weekend I had a conversation with an OTD person, and we were talking about how ironic it is that you hear OTD people talking about God and their relationship with God, whether it's good or bad, all the time. And mm-hmm. It's very, very rare to hear about, unless you're going to a shir or something, it's really rare to hear conversations between from people about God. It's about, you know, the newest stroller or the clothes that, oh my God, they're wearing, and the shaitel length and all of that outward identity stuff.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm I'm a very spiritual person, as you know. I worship God, for lack of a better word, worship. You know, I do it in my own way, and then I do my own things, and I have my own mind and individuality. But the deity that I, you know, deal with, what I call spirituality, is God.
Right.
Most of the Pharm community, the way I see it, and having grown up, you know, and live all my life, you know, near Muncie or whatever, but that it's the same in all Pharm communities, be it Burrapuck, Williamsburg, you know, Lakewood, Montreal, whatever, you know, whatever it might be, is they worship the leaders. And it's really, it's like, and then if you ask them, they'll say, yes, well, that's the conduit to God and all that bullshit. But at the end of the day,
Christian, by the way, that is such a Christian concept.
Yes, it's definitely a pagan Christian or not Jewish concept. I mean, you know, even if you look in the Torah, it says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am your God, singular. It doesn't say plural. Me and God. That's how it should be. Yes, there's, you know, there are laws on this Torah, and I'm not, you know, minimizing that exists. But by putting the emphasis on the leaders, on the rabbis, on the Das Torah, and them ruling and getting involved in every aspect of the sheep's lives, it minimizes the connection between the sheep and God, because they don't want that connection. Because if it's between me and God, it's a different result than it's between me and them.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm not the most religious guy, as you know, but 3/4 of the things that I do or don't do based on my own understanding is totally okay between me and God.
Right.
Whereas if you ask them, I'm a shaykes, because, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And if you go down the list, most of the things that I do or don't do based on my own understanding of God, God has no care in the world that I do those. It's only the rabbis or the leaders or the, you know, the powers that be who want to control the sheep. They put in their bans and their you know, limitations and their don'ts, and they're basically control freaks is what they are. You know, I don't have a good term.
I'm a mother all the time, as you know, and you make fun of me for it. But there is such there are so many threads on there worrying about shaita length and skirt length and colors that you wear and the color of your tights and the color of your underwear and like all these stupid things. How do you even have time to form a relationship with your higher power, whoever that may be, when you're so occupied with things like that? And I just fundamentally don't understand it. And I guess my question to you is, to kind of get your perspective, is when did this start? I mean, this, like, if you look back on, like, Torah people, they weren't occupied with this bullshit, you know? When did the tide turn?
It's hard to pinpoint exactly. I mean, it definitely happened, you know, on this part of the century, you know, way after World War II, when they try to rebuild Judaism. And, you know, they'll tell you that, yeah, we had to be extreme because otherwise it never would have taken off again because Judaism was decimated, so we had to be extreme. And even if you believe that argument, which is bullshit, but even if you do believe it, you know, the time for that extremism is well passed over. You know, and I get the concept of, you know, you're pushing all the way to the right to end up in the middle.
But
I get that.
And we've had this conversation before too. That is so harmful. Like, if the goal is to keep as many people in the fold as possible, which is the goal, right? That's the goal of all cults, whatever.
Of course.
If you make these external things more important or as important as the things that seem like they should be bigger, but you kind of raise the level up to like tragedy if your skirt is a little bit shorter than everyone else or whatever, you lose more people than you will ever gain.
Absolutely. And I personally believe that, you know, they have lost that fight already. And, you know, it's sort of like the last gasp, the last straw in any fight. Like, they know they lost the battle. So that's why they're being so extreme lately, because it's like a last ditch effort to sort of like get people back, when they're totally blind to the fact that more and more people are just ignoring the powers that be, you know, not following the rabbis, doing their own thing, you know, not necessarily, you know, being not from, but even like the next generation of the, you know, the newlyweds of today, so many of them are just, even if they're quote unquote from, are doing it their own way. They're not like prescribing to the bullshit. They're just living their lives. You know, they might be Shomer Shabbos and keep kosher and whatever. They might not be quote unquote modern Orthodox per se, but they're living their from lifestyle on their own terms, where it should be. And that's great.
I would love to hear from people that kind of fall into that category about how they did it, what their family's reaction to that was, and sort of how they were just like, whatever, I'm going to do my own thing, and do it in a way and practice Judaism or from Christ in a way that's meaningful for me. I would love to hear from those people.
Yeah, of course. I happen to think, you know, from my observation of a lot of those people, and most of those are young, you know, a little bit younger than I am, but most of those people are probably not even listening to our podcast or not even interested or affected by a lot of the things that we are affected by, meaning they're probably not as stuck. They don't feel as stuck as people like, you know, who are 35 and above feel. You know, the people who are now 20 years old, 25 years old and starting their lives, you know, living even within the parameters of from, but doing it on their own terms, probably feel less stuck. And that's awesome that the next generation will probably be a lot better and have a lot less problems than the from or the OTD in the closet people. And there's thousands and maybe tens of thousands or more of those. You know, probably the 35 to 55 age range is who are the ones that are feeling the most stuck. And in a way, like I said, it's a good thing that the next generation is a little more freer, smarter, less sheep-like, more open-minded. But there are still thousands of people who fit in the middle section of, you know, the 30 to 40 to 50-year-olds, even 60-year-olds, I'm sure, who are living this double life of sorts because they're stuck. So, yeah, I mean, as we progress with this podcast and, you know, with our blog on spiritualcenter.com and just in life as we go about, I'm just hoping more and more people will actually open up and try to become a unified voice to figure out, okay, we're stuck here, but does that mean we need to go to our grave stuck, or are there things we can do, small things? I'm not saying to, you know, jump and go OTD. You know, most people, that's not an option at this point. But there's little things that we can do if we realize that most people out there who feel stuck are really not as stuck as they think they are, if we know that there are others out there like us.
Which is ironically what I tell you a lot of the time, and you're super resistant to it. But let me ask you, okay? So we spent a lot of the first podcast talking about your externals, what you look like when you walk down the street, the impression that you would give someone who doesn't know you, about how you live your life. And we learned that it's that your externals do not match your internals, which is the most important thing, and also doesn't match what you do when you're alone and you're doing your own thing.
Correct.
So if someone was you, let's say 10 years ago, and they're struggling and they feel stifled and they can't really reach out to anyone because of the consequences of doing that, and you've made a lot of progress in the past decade with stuff like that, where would you tell them to start?
Well, the first thing I would tell them is to stop being afraid of their own shadow. Stop worrying what other people are saying or doing, because the longer you wait, the more real that issue becomes. Once you're, you know, ensconced in a system, in a community, in a school system, in a belief system, it's harder to pull back. So the earlier you do it and the younger you do it and the less ramifications it has for children, you know, when they're younger still, you know, be it, you know, move to a different community, you know, find a different circle to be a part of, you know, even within the parameters of staying from. If you feel stuck where you are, you know, figure out the one or two or three reasons or the things that are keeping you the most stuck and change those things early on. It might be a little uncomfortable to do it, but the earlier you do it, the less resistance you're going to get internally from your spouse or family and stuff like that. Once, you know, the children get older and, you know, children get married, it's a whole different dynamic that, you know, there's more people involved, there's more people affected by it. So, you know, like I would tell anyone, I would even tell myself, and I would definitely tell my younger self, just, you know, just do your thing. Just do your thing. Don't worry about what people will say. Worry more about your internal happiness. You're not being a sheep, using your own mind, living on your own terms with your own connection to God, to spirituality, to the universe, whatever you call it. Stop worrying about externals and focus on making the internal and external more in sync.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to point out that the little things that you can do to give yourself some relief, you can do without completely changing your lifestyle. Like, we're not talking about, at least in the beginning, we're not talking about crazy lifestyle changes right now.
Right. Again, if that's something someone wants to do, and of course they should go through the process. But I think most people in the from community are satisfied with a lot of aspects of the community. Yeah. They have no problem with the cultural aspects, the joyful aspects, the simchas, the yontif. That's not the issue. The issue is the stuff below the surface. So if they can make those things work better for them and stay within the community, God bless you. We're not here to tell people go off the derech or don't be from. We're not saying that. We're saying that find your happy place and go with it. If that means staying from and keeping Shabbos and kosher, God bless you. If that means, you know, keeping Shabbos and not kosher, do your thing. Again, God doesn't really care, you know, what your thing is, as long as you and him or her or it, you know, are real in your connection to each other. You know, don't do what other people tell you to do. And don't, you know, oh, if you tie your left shoe first, then you might as well eat trafe.
Right.
You know, that's bullshit. You know,
and I think also too, it's really important to take the time to learn what is law and what is khumra or something, because
exactly. And that's why, you know, in a sense, the modern
will hold the same weight.
Correct. And that's why the modern Orthodox community, you know, not that they don't have their own problems, their own set of issues, but for the most part, that's the balance they found, and that's why it works.
Right.
That's why they're much more internally happy, and there's less, you know, people leaving their fold, and that's the happy balance, and there's nothing wrong with that. Obviously, for somebody coming from the right wing, whether it's Hasidish, Yeshivish, or whatever, it's a big leap, but that's really the center is where it makes the most sense for a lot of people. Again, I'm not saying that if someone feels he should be a right wing from me, and that's their happy place, they can't be there. We got to respect everyone's right. But just as we have to respect their right to want to be a right wing from me, they have to respect our right not to want to be that. Now, tolerance is a two-way street, you know? You can't say, you know, we accept and respect you as long as you do what I do and do what I say. You know, that's bullshit.
But I also just want to point out that while at this point you're talking really big and you have definitely made changes and all of that, you yourself as Ari still cannot be open with all of these things that you believe.
Absolutely. I will be the first to admit that I am still living that stuck double life where I'm stifled and choking and dying and drowning. All true. But, you know, now I would say I'm at 70% stifled, whereas I was 110% before. 70% is not great, but, you know, the goal is to be, you know, a lot closer to zero.
Sure.
But yeah, it's a process. But, you know, again, part of the process is realizing that you got to just stop giving a shit about externals and stop worrying about the people who claim they have control over your life. Because when you realize and make that conscious, knowledgeable decision to not give a shit about them, that's half the battle right there. And I know that from personal experience. You know, at that point when I started not caring and started not taking their, you know, controls seriously, that's when I started to go in the direction that I'm going now. Again, I'm still not there, but I'm getting there. And there's a lot of people out there who are at some level, you know, looking to be, you know, free of their grasp of the from community and, you know, and the powers that be and the rabbis and the Das Torah and the, you know, I call them the Taliban rabbis. So if the more people band together and realize that we have the strength in our numbers, we don't all have to sit in our own little closet. We can all come out and band together. Slowly but surely we'll have a better world.
There is power in numbers. I say it all the time.
Absolutely.
Well, good talk.
Yeah. So this, let's wrap up our second segment of the Spiritual Center podcast.
What do you want to hear from people about this week?
I want to hear from people, whatever's on their mind. Email us, thespiritualcenter@gmail.com. Check out the blog, thespiritualcenter.com. Find us on Instagram at @FromStuck. Check us out on Facebook, Spiritual Center. Just let's get this conversation going. Reach out to me. Tell me what's on your mind. Tell me, you know, if you agree, disagree, your topic suggestions. Just let's get this conversation going, because, you know,
it's an important conversation to have.
And like, yeah, listen, you know, we don't live forever. So, you know, whatever's left of our life, whether you're, you know, 30, 40, 50, in your 60s, just because you're stuck and just because, you know, the first half or three quarters of your life was spent in a cult jail doesn't mean you can't break out and start living a life on your own terms. And remember, the key here is spirituality is not religion. They want you to think it's one big mush. It's not. Spirituality is a personal connection to you and that power, whether it's God or whatever God means to you. Religion is a controlling, cultish mechanism. And that's the bottom line.
Agreed. And also just, you can also leave a message for Ari on Anchor, a voice message. So we love those as well. So do that.
Absolutely. And, you know, and just for my ego, you know, if you can go onto Anchor or other podcasts or platforms and just, you know, favorite us or applause. I love applause. So you know what? Yeah, I'll say it straight out. Applaud for me.
I can attest to the fact that Ari has a very large ego. So.
Hey, I have a lot of large things. That's life, you know?
All right, we will see everyone next time.
Looking forward. Take care for now. This is Ari, the Spiritual Center.
Bye.
Bye-bye.